This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast.
Excuse me.
Carl's got the hiccups.
I do.
Welcome back, Carl.
Yeah, Brett finally decided to pay me what I asked for, or I would have still been off show. I asked for a pay raise. And I got my wish. So my strike was successful.
Your strike was successful.
Yeah. I was on strike last week and did not appear on the show.
Yeah, thanks to Greg Bozzelli for filling in, man. He's a good guy, so.
Yeah, y'all had a good show.
He knows a lot about his shit, so he's.
He does.
Just really off the top of his head, too, like you.
Yeah, but mine's getting to be less and less, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see where he's at in 10 years when he's 50 something.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Greg.
Certain topics I still know my shit on, but like, yeah. I know today is Texas Independence Day.
Yeah.
If you were born and bred in Texas like me, it's an important day. 1836, we became our own republic, the Republic of Texas. Defeated Mexico.
And there's a lot of people that like to do that again, too.
It could happen. Look, I even got my come and take it mug today. If you live in Texas, you can find these mugs all over the place. We got our own little way of living down here that a lot of people don't like. But apparently a lot of people do because they keep moving here.
Yep, exactly. I see. Starting to see more out-of-state license plates than Texas license plates when I'm out on the road.
Well, the good thing is a lot of the people I meet that come here because they like the way we run shit in Texas. They're not here to change it, so.
Exactly.
If you're a fucktard, then you can just go down to Austin, I guess. That's where all the weirdos live. That's the old saying, keep Austin weird.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I'm sore, Carl.
I'm sore, too, because we worked in the hot. Well, Brett worked in the hot, like, more hours than I did. I went out there and raked, and motherfucking, did that ever beat my ass?
Raking's hard work, man, when you got a lot of shit to rake up, for sure.
He told me, if you clean up this vampire room, we're going to put these columns in it. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I get it all cleaned up. Put one of the columns there. I'm like, this looks like shit. And Brett looked at me like, don't say that.
Because I knew we were going to have to move them further away.
And we did, but they found a good home.
Yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah. So
yeah. Yep, it's March and we're doing haunted house work. It's March and I've actually got some green in the room for St. Patrick's Day coming up and Easter. I guess Easter's green. I don't know.
We're going to have to do a St. Patrick's Day show.
And an Easter episode.
At
the Count Karabi Museum, we will be having a Easter egg hunt, and it will be featuring the Grabber. That's right, the Grabber.
Oh, I finally got that DVD, too.
Oh, the Black Phone?
Yeah, but I got it. Well, I still got it cheap, I guess. It was only $9. So
yeah, that's cheap.
And it's special edition one and got the DVD and
that's a damn good movie. I know we reviewed it, but
yeah.
Apparently the grandkids, one of them must have saw something to do with it and They decided that the grabber lives in the haunted house, so he's now our new haunt enemy, I guess.
Yeah.
Better than the Grimace. Remember, for a bit, they were scared of the Grimace.
The Grimace from
the
McDonald's?
Grimace from McDonald's. They said he was poisoning people with milkshakes. Now it's the grabber.
Oh, poisoning people with milkshakes.
So the grabber will be in Easter grabbing Easter eggs.
That's funny. Damn kids.
Yep.
Yeah, Juliet went to Monster Jam today, and
oh, that's the big deal, yeah.
Yeah, they went there at 1:30 this afternoon. They had the pit party passes,
pit pass, yeah,
and they had a big old party for everybody and all that. And they got there at 1:30. What time is it now? Little after 9.
9:30, yeah.
They were still there at 8:30 tonight.
Jesus. They got their money's worth out of it.
Yeah. Fucking shit. It was $350 to park, man.
It's fucking crazy.
Right next to the front door, though.
Yeah.
So.
So I heard you got caught a right winger on the Brohio Facebook page.
Let's not even talk about
that. Somebody, would you post the alligator?
Yeah, it was an alligator.
Shit about you.
There's a picture of an alligator on the side of a boat, and somebody made a meme. Said, "I'm here to apply for the."
I thought border, we weren't going to talk patrol, about it.
Here to apply for the border patrol job, and some people gave me some shit on there. So,
well, it's Texas Independence Day, so we're going to be a little political. So, if you
it
don't
was
like
funny.
It's funny.
It was funny. I thought it was funny. Other people thought it was funny.
I bet the Brohio guys got a kick out of it.
Probably. Or they just shook their head.
And laughed. At least we don't have any giant.
Oh, somebody will probably report it, and Nick will have to take it down because somebody was whining.
Well, they got giant penises hanging up and shit. So, like, what the fuck?
I know. Somebody will probably say it was because you're not supposed to post political shit on there, but I don't think it was really political.
Well,
it's an alligator just wanting a job.
I just think it's funny you get in trouble.
You know, and I'm not even political at all. I could give two fucks less, you know, shit.
I don't know. I see old skinny back there. His eyes are on.
Did they just come on?
Yep.
Batteries are dying in him, so.
Oh, no.
Gonna have to put some new batteries. I bought a shitload. They had them on sale at Harbor Freight. I bought a shitload of double A's and triple A's.
I need about like 100 triple A's.
Well, that's the best place to go is Harbor Freight.
Well, Amazon is not, because Amazon's batteries suck and they die within like a week.
Yeah. But I've been using these. I've had these for like 6 months now, and I'm used them in all my remotes and shit, and none of them are dead yet. So
I may have to make a Harbor Freight trip then.
Yeah, they had the big packs for like $6 or something like
that. Aren't we supposed to do a show tonight?
Show tonight? Yeah, we are. We better get on fucking topic, shouldn't we?
Right? I haven't talked to Brett in 2 weeks, it seems like, so.
We're just bullshitting.
Well, we're going to cover tonight the movie Warlock, featuring Julian Sands. And a lot to talk about with me with that movie. When I was a kid waiting for it, well, I guess I was a teenager waiting for it to come out for years and years and years. And I told Brett for this week's show, I wanted to do something I was familiar with. And Warlock, I've seen 150,000 times, so I'm pretty familiar with it.
All right. Warlock, supernatural horror film from 1989. And it is directed by Steve Miner, produced by Steve Miner.
Can you talk about Steve Miner a second?
Sure, go ahead.
You go ahead. You know more about him than me.
What?
What?
He's a television film producer.
And known for?
Friday the 13th
Making
Part
a Friday the 13th, yep.
and part three, and he did the movie House.
But I'm just
Halloween
saying,
H2O.
He did more with the Friday the 13th universe than anybody, in my humble opinion. So I always hold grateful thoughts to see Steve Miner for his bringing Jason into the world. Because in Friday the 13th, part one, Jason's just a little dead zombie kid. So,
yep.
I thought you would have jumped all over that, Brett. But then again, I remember you're a Michael Myers guy. You're not a Jason guy.
Yep.
You can have Michael Myers and...
Still waiting on that movie. So they eventually got to make it someday. Don't you think?
What, Jason versus Michael?
Yes.
You would have thought they would have made it like 2 years after Jason versus Freddy.
Somebody needs to get on the fucking ball, and it better not
Steve
be...
Miner, do it.
And it better not be Blumhouse.
Yeah, we don't want them. Anyway, so Steve Miner holds a good place in my heart for his work in the Friday the 13th, and he did direct House.
Yep.
Not the TV show House, the horror movie.
That needs to go on the list, too. That's a good movie.
There's a good Blu-ray release of it as well, so I will have to put that on my to-buy list. I just got like six new movies. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Did I say who it was written by? David... How do you say his name? Twowey?
David Twowey.
David Twowey. Cinematography by David Egby, edited by David Finfer, music by Jerry Goldsmith, and this was very 80s pop related music throughout this.
The Blu-ray has an isolated score on it.
Oh, really?
Yep. Hard to come by these days getting an isolated score.
Well, that's cool. It was distributed by Trimark Pictures in the United States and New World Pictures internationally. It was released on May 18th or May of 1989 at Cannes Film Festival. And then in June 1989, it was released in Australia and the UK.
But not the United States.
But not the United States. Didn't come out here till January 11th of 1991.
You want to know why?
Wasn't it the deal with the Trimark Pictures and the...
No, it was banned by the churches.
Oh, yeah, it was? That's
what I was told as a kid. I knew about Warlock when it was supposed to come out, and it never came out, and we were told that the church banned Warlock. And when we finally got it released, it was an edited cut edition. And we never got to see what was in this movie. It was so bad and terrible. And that was the story we were told as teenagers.
So was the original cut on the Blu-ray?
I don't think they got the original cut anywhere.
Huh.
I think it's lost to time.
Well, that would suck. That sucks.
This is it. Yeah, it would be the theatrical version that was released. There is no director's cut. So a lot of that is a lot of urban legend in there, but boy, did we believe it as kids, you know, that this was like the worst, most vile, evil movie ever created, and the churches did not want it shown. So that's the story I was told, and that's what I still believe to this day.
You're sticking to it.
I am.
All right, it had a running time of 103 minutes. Country based in the United States, English language. Budget was $15 million. And it didn't really do too good at the box office, but evidently it did good enough to make what, four sequels? Three
it
sequels?
It did, but the reason why it didn't do good at the box office is it was only in a limited release.
Exactly.
And it was fucking 3 years delayed.
Behind, yeah.
So it didn't get a fucking proper release is why it didn't make a lot at the box office. So,
yeah, didn't you say you had to drive a ways to go see it or something?
There's a story I'll get to later on that one.
Okay. But
I got
anyway,
a lot of stories with Warlock.
But anyway, it only made just over $9 million at the box office. So, but it's probably made quite a bit on home video sales and stuff. So, since 1989, you know. All right. Since you love this movie so much, Carl, why don't you give the plot?
Okay, so the movie begins in like the colonial times.
It's actually 1691.
1691. Good job, Brett.
17th century.
God dang, good job. So it's colonial times, and it shows in the beginning they got a basket of cats. Like, what the hell? Well, turns out they captured themselves a real life warlock. In this movie, a warlock is a satanic witch. And they said if they burn this warlock over a basket of cats, it will kill him. So they got him all bound up, ready to burn him the next day. And that's when the warlock slayer, I guess we'll call him, comes in, and they start bantering back and forth. And the warlock kind of tells him, yeah, you ain't going to kill me, you dummy.
It was weird how they had him bound too.
They did. They had him
by
bound
his
by his
toes.
Feet. Yeah.
They had a like a handcuff around each big toe with a
and
like
he was
a,
bleeding too.
And then the chains went up to his thumbs.
Well, that's how you bind a warlock.
I guess.
It is.
All
a
right.
Satanic warlock. So
All
anyway,
right.
The warlock conjures up some spell, and him and the hunter are transported to the future a la Terminator. It's very Terminator-like in this way.
Sort of, yeah.
They jump to the future. The warlock and the hunter are now in the modern 1989 day. And that is where our story begins, I guess.
Well,
they should only give spoilers.
They were originally in they were originally in Boston, and they got transported to Los Angeles.
Yeah, they transported to Los Angeles. I don't know how that happened, but yeah, it's not in it is a they traveled across coast. I guess there wasn't even a Los Angeles when the freaking warlock lived in the 16th century, 17th century, so.
Exactly. All right, let's go over the cast.
Hold on, we got a special guest wants to say hi.
Oh.
Hi, Drax.
Oh, he bit your face off it. She bit your face off, it looked like.
Ow. She hit me in the foot. Damn, Dracula, meanie. All right, let's go over the cast.
All right, first off, we got Julian Sands as he's just called Warlock.
That is his only name is Warlock. He is a satanic witch in this movie, basically.
All right, next we got Laurie Singer as Cassandra with a K.
Yes.
That was mentioned many times throughout the movie.
Not with a K, with a C, it's a K. She was your typical 80s chick too, so.
She's originally from Corpus Christi.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Her father was a conductor for the Oregon Symphony from 1962 to 1972. Huh. Next, we got Richard E. Grant as Giles Redfame.
That's our warlock hunter.
That's the witch hunter.
Yeah, witch hunter, warlock hunter, whatever you want to call him.
The way he was dressed up, it looked like he could have been on Game of Thrones.
Sort of did. Now, Julian Sands says in the interviews that he was told that Sean Connery was going to play this role, and that's part of why he took the film.
Oh, really? He was going to play the witch hunter?
Yes.
Mm.
He said he actually believed that, and that is why he took the casting, because he wanted to work with Sean Connery. So,
well, I think that would have been fucking awesome if he would have played the part.
Well, I don't think they had the budget for Sean Connery.
I don't think so either.
I'm surprised they had it for Julian Sands. I mean, he wasn't a huge star at this point, but he'd been a lot of stuff.
Well, it took him like, I'll get to that when we do the.
We'll get to that later. We got a lot to talk about on poor old Julian Sands.
Next, we got Marion Woronov as Chandler. Kevin O'Brien as Chaz. Richard Cuss as the Mennonite. Rob Paulson as the gas station attendant. And Brandon Call as unbaptized young boy.
Yeah, he was unbaptized, and there's a story behind that too. And I'm gonna give a spoiler out here now for all you people out there. If you're unbaptized and you are a boy, a witch can kill you, drain your fat, burn the fat, and drink it and fly. That is how a warlock flies. An unbaptized boy's body fat. Now, you talk about a creative storyline. That is pretty damn crafty and pretty damn creative. Did you get all that, Brett?
Yeah. Melt little boy's fat down and drink it and you can fly.
Yes. And it might work with an unbaptized man, too. So if you ain't baptized, don't get near a warlock, a satanic warlock.
And that kid ended up going on to do some pretty interesting stuff. He was on Baywatch for a couple of seasons, and he was most famously known for playing the role of JT Lambert on Step by Step.
Never heard of it.
You never watched Step by Step with Suzanne Summers and Patrick Duffy?
Nope.
Okay.
I only know Patrick Duffy from The Man from Atlantis and Dallas. Or was that Bill Bixby? Fuck, I don't know. Dude, I'm like high on caffeine right now, so that's why I'm so wild tonight.
Are you drinking your 180 proof stuff?
I am now. And I'm jacked on caffeine, so you're getting me in full fucking glory after missing two episodes or whatever I missed. I'm being very controversial. I've been influenced again by Dwayne Johnson talking shit.
Yeah, I know. That was funny. That was funny when you showed me that earlier today.
He only told the truth, man.
The Rock is back.
The Rock told the truth like you did, man.
Told the truth.
You were persecuted for it on the show.
Oh, shit. All right.
So who else we got in the movie?
That's it for the cast.
Okay.
Pretty small cast. A lot of extras in this for sure.
Yeah, they had all the pilgrims or whatever the hell they were in the beginning. Farmers, yeah. I think they referred to them as.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's go over the production a little bit here.
Okay. I have no notes. I'm just going off the top of my head on all this.
The writer David Twohy, he originally wanted to make this like about the witch being, you know, like how they were bad to the witches and shit before, you know, like and burn them at the stake and shit.
Yeah, in Salem when they burned everybody.
Yeah, he wanted to make it more about like that, like the plight of the. And make him the hero of the story.
This warlock is no hero.
No, he's not. So, but
he's a bad motherfucker.
He went over it in his head for like 2 months while he was writing it, he said. And he's like, I can't make him a good guy. So he ended up making him a bad guy.
Yeah, he's very bad.
All right. What else? Steve Miner said that he insisted that the leads were portrayed. He insisted that the leads be portrayed by British actors. They'd been off the boat for 5 years, 10 years at most. They're English. And that's why he wanted them on there. Because they were English.
It's true. I mean, they, you know, it's colonial US. Yeah. So yeah, it was still a colony. It was not a part of, it was still a part of England, so they were British. Very historically correct. I'm just saying. Where'd you go, Bubba?
I'm here. I'm just looking at something. The producer actually suggested Julian Sands, and he was originally going to play the part of the witch hunter. The roles were going to be turned. The other guy, what's his name? Richard E. Grant was going to play the warlock, and Julian Sands was going to play the witch hunter.
Well, that must have been before Julian Sands thought Sean Connery was going to play the witch hunter. I guess they were going to switch roles after they cast him. I don't know. I didn't know that one.
And Julian Sands, he'd been offered many roles in horror movies before.
He always turned them down.
And always turned them down. And he said he held onto the script for like 2 months before he even read it. And he finally read it and liked it, so he decided he did it, was going to do it. So, because he thought it was just going to be like a slasher type movie.
It's not at all. It's pretty much a psychological movie more. I don't even know if you'd consider this a horror movie. I really would not. Supernatural, but not horror.
There's some horror. There's some scenes in there.
There is one really good scene where he wants somebody's ring and cuts the motherfucker's finger off and takes the ring.
Yeah, he's just sitting there looking at it. I like that ring.
Yeah. So he bites some people's tongues off. So, yeah, there is a little bit of horror element to it. It was probably added. I don't know if it was originally planned there, but it worked out really well. Of course, regular effect, special effects, you know, didn't have any CGI back then. And they hold up pretty good, in my opinion. That's what I think. Like, especially with him flying and stuff.
Yeah.
He was in a harness there. He's actually rolling him down the field in a harness when they did the flying scenes.
I guess they had problems with actress Lori Singer. I guess she was very difficult to work with. And
was she the Chandler?
No, she was the Cassandra with a K.
She was Cassandra. I didn't know they had any. What kind of problems did they have with her?
I guess she
One thing, it was a makeup she had to wear.
Yeah.
With the girl. It messed because it was some really painful prosthetics because they made her a 20-year-old look like she was 40 or something. And
older than that. Yeah.
Maybe 60 as she got older.
Well, they had to keep adding it on because she kept getting older.
I know for a fact that she had issues with the makeup, but I didn't know that they had issues with her. So what's all this about?
Yeah, so that's basically, I was just getting ready to say that. You took the words out of my mouth.
See, I told you I know this movie. You got one tonight that I really know.
Oh. Bulk of this movie was shot on location in Los Angeles, but the opening of the 17th century sequence was filmed at Plymouth Plantation in Massachusetts. I guess that's one of them living like things that they do at reenactment places. Where they do the
reenactment. Looks pretty accurate to me. I'll say that.
One scene was shot at the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah.
Yeah, they filmed this thing all over the country pretty much.
Actually, that's the final scene.
Yeah, where the warlock and the hunter go to war.
All right. About it for the productions. Deleted scenes due to a variety of factors. Several scenes were cut, reshot, or altered post-production. Several deleted scenes are glimpsed in the theatrical trailer only.
Yeah, I told you that there's no producer or director's cut. The shit got cut out because of the church, I'm telling you, man.
Yep, these scenes included the original version of the death of the Chandler. It was cut after poor reception and special effects at test screenings.
Well, you want to know what the poor effect was? She was going to be topless, and they were going to have her boobs like turn into faces and stuff. It did not work out well. So yeah, that scene did get cut.
I could have seen that. That's sort of like when it his work in the Friday the 13th Part 3 with all the weird Freddy characters and shit, the snake and all that.
Friday the 13th Part 3
or
with
not
a
Friday,
Freddy snake.
Not Friday the
Part
13th.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah. That's sort of like that.
Yeah, so that was part of it. They were going to do all kinds of freaky crap with the Chandler, and it just did not look good, apparently. So it got cut and gone. But yeah, you're right. A lot of it, the trailer shows a lot of stuff that's not in the movie. So that's probably where the urban legend that this was such a terrible, evil movie, they had to cut it by the order of the Pope or whatever. There's probably just some bad seats, some bad practical effects. I don't know.
Yeah, so they actually started filming this in 87 and completed it in 88.
Yeah, and it didn't come out in the United States till 91.
This
and
is
there it. Was buzz on this movie, and I remember hearing about this movie in like 1988, 89, that this movie called Warlock was going to come out, and it was going to be one of the worst, vile, evil movies ever created. And I was just waiting to see it. So, yeah. It was out there. We knew it was coming out. We just didn't know when. Or if it ever would, for that matter.
I guess they had problems with the film reels for this movie. Also, they had issues in a bunch of theaters. Screwed up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they couldn't show the movie in like 20% of the movies because the reels were screwed up. So it was more limited than originally
planned.
Yeah. That's crazy. Sort of sounds like it's a little cursed to me.
I was about to say that. It sounds like sort of a cursed production. I mean, I guess in 1989, it was, I mean, you got to think about the movies that came out around that time, like Evil Dead 2 and Chainsaw 2, that were getting X ratings because they were so vile. But yeah, fucking Evil Dead 2, if it was released today, would probably be rated PG.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there was a lot of,
and labeled as a comedy.
Yeah. In the late 80s, there was a lot of controversy around horror movies, and they just really was, they were getting a bad reputation. And I don't know. Maybe this was a cursed production. But I will tell my story of how I finally got to see Warlock after the long, long wait of it coming out. I think they actually showed the trailer for several years, too.
Yeah.
So I knew it was supposed to come out, and me and my friend David finally got to go see it, but we had to go all the way to White Settlement, Texas, to a United Artists Cinema 8, which is now a church, by the way, to see this movie. It was the only theater that it was showing in Fort Worth, or the Fort Worth area. And I think we went there in the day, and there was only three people in the theater, me and David, and some guy that David said, "That creepy guy keeps looking at you." I'm like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he keeps staring at you." And I'm like, "Well, what the fuck?" And then David's like, "I think that guy might be a warlock. He's, you know, just kind of fucking with me." And I'm like, "Are you serious?" He said, "No, seriously, the guy keeps looking at you." So yeah, it was kind of creepy. I'm watching this movie while there's this dude apparently staring at me. Well, after the movie ended, I finally got a glimpse of him, and I'm like, "That guy looks very familiar." Turned out it was my ex-brother-in-law, my sister's ex-husband. So I hadn't seen him in years, so he must have recognized me, you know, being older, and thought, "Well, is that, you know?" So he was trying to figure out if it was me, and I guess, so I just thought that was kind of weird, you know, that me and my ex-brother-in-law saw the movie and didn't even realize who each other was.
That's funny. That's funny.
So shout out to WR, wherever the hell you are. I don't even, I guess he's still alive. I would have probably heard because my nephew would have told me if he had a passed or something. It's been a long time, you know.
Yeah.
So that was my creepy vibe from the movie, but that's the only screen it was shown in Fort Worth was at the UA-8 in White Settlement.
Did
And that
it
was
stay in the theater very long or?
No, not at all. So it did get a very limited release, but at the time that was one of the newer theaters in the area and having 8 screens, it was pretty big, but it was kind of a shitty theater. It was one of them where the had 8 screens, but they only had like probably 20 seats per theater. It wasn't a very
Oh,
good.
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
So
would suck.
yeah, it wasn't a, it didn't stay open very long. It was like closed within 10 years of it opening and a church took it over and there you go. So where I saw the Warlock is now a church. How does that grab you?
That's funny. All right, awards.
This won awards?
It won one. It was nominated for a bunch, though.
I'm not sure
It
what
was
award was.
Nominated for 3 Saturn Awards in 92 for Best Fantasy Film, Best Music for Jerry Goldsmith, and Best Special Effects, but didn't win.
Jerry Goldsmith did a lot of scores in his day, so I'm surprised they got him to do this.
And the Avoriaz Fantastic Film Festival, Steve Miner was nominated for Best Director. Brussels International, same thing, nominated, or he actually won that one.
Good.
Best Director.
So this is an award-winning movie, I can truly say.
And it was nominated for a bunch of Chainsaw Awards, Best Actor for Julian Sands.
Which it should have been.
Best Independent Low Budget Film, Best Screenplay, and Best Soundtrack, but it didn't win. Wish it told me what it got beat out by.
Don't know.
You have to buy the plus version of IMDb for that.
I'm surprised you don't have that.
I don't know. I think it's expensive.
It's expensive. It is. It is very.
It's like shit. I got enough off of what I got.
You got enough expenses from this podcast that we make so much money off of.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah, we're
fucking
going and broke from it.
Swimming in money. Oh, like I said earlier, let's go over some trivia, I guess.
Do a little trivia, then we'll go over this Blu-ray.
Yeah, there's not much trivia. So, like
no.
I said, Julian Sands received the script and held on to it for a couple of months.
Yeah, that he said in the. There's a long interview with Julian Sands on the Blu-ray. I mean, like a 30-minute interview. And
really?
Yeah, he has lots of good memories of this movie.
Well, it was one of his first movies, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was like a theater actor or something.
Let's see.
Really surprised that he did this movie. I still think it's because he thought Sean Connery was going to be in it.
That's crazy.
Then I guess they were going to flip him and make him the good guy. That would have been weird.
All right,
what else you got?
The scene where the witch flies out of the cargo compartment on the airplane took several takes. The actor couldn't easily open the cargo door on the Boeing 707, so actual airline employees were used. Huh.
That's cool to know.
The fate of the unbaptized male child was intended to be shown, but was ultimately deemed to be too gruesome.
Of course it was. By who? The church.
The church.
Whatever church, I don't know, but next week we're probably going to be doing a movie about this church. So there you go. There's a spoiler.
Ooh. Ooh.
Spoiler. This unknown church that tried to ban Warlock, we're going to have a movie about it.
In 1995, this is sort of crazy. In 1995, Saskatchewan teenager Sandy Charles
oh, yeah.
and an unnamed 8-year-old accomplice murdered a 7-year-old boy, cut strips of his flesh from his body, boiled and drank it in hopes that, as in the film, it would give them ability to fly.
This is true. This kid was like obsessed with warlock and thought that he could, that he really was a warlock. Fucking trip, man.
And he was found not guilty by reason of insanity and sentenced to high security regional psychiatric center in Saskatoon, Canada.
Alberta.
Is that Alberta?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just know that maybe this unknown church entity had reason to ban this movie because
maybe.
That it?
Let's see here. Yeah, that's about it. We went over a bunch of this stuff already, so.
Blu-ray time.
All right.
So, DVD was released right after, you know, whenever the hell, I guess DVDs, whenever the hell they came out. I remember buying it when it first came out on DVD, and it was just a white cover with the warlock on it. Well, you know, time goes on. The DVDs sort of fall out of flavor. The picture is not very good quality. Well, it never came out on Blu-ray. Well, as we know, Lionsgate owns a huge library of movies. The company's out of business. Well, they were doing, and I think they've back to doing it. They what they called their Vestron Video Collection. You remember Vestron Video in the old video stores?
Yep, the Toxic Avenger, all that good old
stuff. I guess Lionsgate somehow bought that name and was releasing a lot of the old movies from the 80s, and they finally came out with Warlock. It has all three of them. It's got the sequel and part three, which Julian Sands was not in. But this is a badass Blu-ray for the first movie because it's got all the extras that came out on the original DVD and a lot of new stuff, including that like 30-minute interview with Julian Sands, which they filmed when they released this thing. And they talked to Steve Miner. So it's packed with special footage and special features, I should say. And there is an isolated score. And they did an interview with what is it? With the author, actually the guy who wrote it, they interviewed him. So really? This thing's packed. And you get on disc 2, Warlock Armageddon and Warlock 3. So for a change, I'm going to give Lionsgate some thumbs up for a good release. They've been known to kind of crap out on some of their, I love Lionsgate as a company, but they've put out some pretty crappy DVDs over the years and Blu-rays, but they hit a home run with this one. So it's still out. If you haven't seen Warlock, you can get it, and it comes with the other two movies as well, and it's reasonably priced. And there's even extras on Warlock Part 2, so this thing's packing. So let's give Lionsgate some credit for it. They gave us a cool slipcover even, and two disc, two movies on one, the first one on its own disc. Really cool artwork. I just got to give this thing a 5-star rating for a Blu-ray release. Sounds good, looks good. Can't complain about it at all. Like I said, even talking to the guy who wrote the script, I thought that was impressive because didn't know nothing about him.
Huh.
So you might want to look into getting that if you're a fan of Warlock 1 or 2. A lot of people like the sequel better than the original. And Julian Sands even brought that up, that it's like two separate universes almost, and that he sort of had to play the Warlock a bit different for part 2. So
I think he was fucking more evil in part 2, because I watched it. It came on right after I watched it on Tubi.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on Tubi, so if you want to watch one there too.
Yeah, but support physical media, people. Tubi gonna knock this off eventually, because that unknown church will find out they're showing it and they'll kill it off.
Oh shit.
Yeah, but part 2 is an interesting take as well. It's a rare one where the sequel's just as good as the original.
Yep.
Now, part 3, Julian Sands isn't in, so it's sort of unmemorable. I never was a big fan of part three.
Yeah, they tried to find a guy that looked like him, though.
Yeah, they didn't do a good job.
Well,
ooh, still got the belches, man. It's, you know, it's that Mountain Dew. It's got me fucked up.
I just did too. Oh.
We got bad backs and belching and
damn, sucks getting old.
So our final take on Warlock. You want me to go first?
Well, let's talk about Julian Sands a little bit.
Oh yeah. He's no longer with us.
Yeah, he
yeah, let's talk about Julian Sands before we go into our final review.
He was big at the cons, man. Lots of people wanted to see him when he went to the con. He was at Texas Frightmare a couple times.
He was a very personable guy, for one thing. I know that for a fact.
Yep.
Very open and very friendly. So I could see him being big at the cons.
And, yeah, and he was a very avid hiker. And that's what ended up doing him in.
Yeah, we mentioned this on the show when it first happened. I remember.
Yep.
We were talking. Somehow it got brought up and we talked about it. Yeah, he was hiking and I guess got lost.
Got lost or
fell. Accident.
Some people say that there was an avalanche because there was like avalanche warnings in the area he was at. And some people think he might have got attacked by a mountain lion. Nobody knows. So,
but he is deceased now. So, rest in peace, Julian Sands. You were a great dude. And yeah, I wish I could have met him at one of the cons because that would have been really cool. Sad ending to a really good dude. I hate to hear that.
He just played such a good part, he did such a good job at it.
He did.
Just that smirk on his face, you know, he got that smirk.
Yeah.
But anyway, my views on this movie.
Yeah, give me your take on Warlock.
Well, to me, I don't think it holds up as well as it probably could.
What?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's not my favorite movie. I probably didn't see this until way after it came out on DVD originally.
So you weren't obsessed with this movie like I was as a kid.
No.
I was literally obsessed with it before it was ever released. So yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I like the movie.
But
sort of cheesy and comedic in parts.
Cheesy.
Just, I don't know. Maybe it was that girl that was in it. She was
an 80s girl
running around in a sequin, black sequin mini skirt the whole time.
How many 80s girls did that? A lot. That was very, very time truthful. That's even a word.
Lots of hints of Terminator in this.
Yeah, it does. It has a very Terminator feel to it. The Slayer comes to protect the heroine or whatever from the evil. Yeah, it's very Terminator-y like.
Now that I got a question for you, that witch finder, is that a real thing?
Yes.
Is it?
We're going to say cool. Yes.
All right. But anyway, back to what I'm thinking.
Back to your story. I can see the look
good,
on your face.
Good story.
You just don't like it.
I'm just not that big a fan. I'm going to have to give it a 2.5.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's halfway there.
I think you like the sequel better.
Yeah, I think I did too.
You're in that category.
Yep.
Well, a lot of people do.
I'm in that category for sure.
Well, for me, I still love Warlock. I watch it all the time. Not all the time, but I mean, I watch it, you know, probably once a year. Still fond of it. Still have that childhood fascination with it. And to me, it still holds up. I wish I could have seen whatever the hell was supposed to be released, but from the sounds of it, maybe the shit should have been cut. But whatever they did, they created such an enigma that this movie will always hold that for me anytime I think of the Warlock. I still enjoy watching it. I don't find it cheesy. I don't find it stupid. I find it fascinating. The Blu-ray's great. The soundtrack, I don't mind. And Julian Sands was fucking excellent. And Steve Miner, who I like the guy's movies a lot. I think this was the, besides probably Friday the 13th Part 2, this was the golden gem of his career. That's right. I said it. I'm going to give The Warlock a 4.5.
Wow.
Yes.
Really?
That's okay. How much I like Warlock.
Okay.
I had, when I was watching, I kept telling Lisa, Lisa, come look at this. It's like, I don't want to see that. I'm like, he's about to bite this guy's tongue out and spit it into the plate. And she's like, what?
He actually spit it in the frying pan.
Yeah, in the frying pan and fried it, and then he ate it. I just like this movie's good, dude. It's one of my top horror movies, probably.
All right.
I do like the sequel as well. And maybe it's that weird childhood obsession with this movie. I say childhood, I was a fucking teenager. But it still holds to this day. Two thumbs up and a 4.5.
All right.
Better than most horror movies that we've watched in this year.
I just got to looking on here at all the people that were thought of to play the part of the Warlock before Julian Sands was cast. And I don't see none of them doing as good a job as he did. A couple of them are John Cleese.
Okay.
Sam Elliott, Lance Henriksen, William Hurt, James Caan, William Dafoe.
For some big names. William Dafoe?
Yeah.
He might have been good. That dude's creepy as shit.
Patrick Stewart, too. But I don't think none of them could have did as good a job as Julian Sands did, for sure. It's almost like he was meant for this role.
He was meant for the role. And like
he had
cool-looking
fucking hair, too.
To me, it still fucking holds up to this day. I don't find anything about it cheesy. That's just me. That's why we do these shows, so we can give our opinions out. And I'm telling the truth, damn it.
I give it an excuse because it was the 80s, you know.
Better than a lot of 80s movies.
Yeah, that's true. So I'll change my score to a 3.
God knew I'd get you. The sequels, right. I don't know if we'll ever review the sequel or not, but I would give it about a 3.5, I think.
Yeah, probably. I haven't seen the same aura
to it as the original.
Yeah, I haven't seen the third one yet.
The third one sucks. Don't waste your time. Just watch part one and it's Warlock Armageddon. It's not even called part two. It's a semi-sequel. Yeah. Don't waste your time with part three. It's a waste of film. So,
okay.
Highly recommend both movies. That's my take on it. If you haven't seen them, watch them. They're good. It's very 80s, yeah, but they're both good movies. And they got that satanic aura that we had in the 80s going that you will never capture again.
Satanic panic.
It was. And I was in the middle of it.
So was I.
Well, that's all right,
Carl.
Got for Warlock.
You don't have nothing else? All right.
Nothing else, except I want to find the church that banned this movie. Mystery Church.
The Mystery Church. Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening, and we appreciate it. Thanks for all the comments lately, too, again, for sure. Finally getting some good ones, unless I...
Well, we might get some bad ones tonight because I was talking shit.
Yeah. But anyway, check us out on all the social medias. We aren't hard to find.
Has the Deep Purple guy surfaced anymore?
No, haven't heard nothing.
I guess we shut his ass down. I love it.
All right, everybody. We will talk to you. I'll talk to you Wednesday. So
I will not talk to you Wednesday.
But all
right. Check out www.countkarabi.com because there's updates on the Facebook page. And all you got to do is go to the domain or search it on Facebook because we are actively working on the haunted house. So if you want to keep up with that, follow us on Count Karabi Museum Facebook page. And we revealed our new Frankenstein monster, courtesy of Moxley Manor Haunted House in Bedford, Texas.
Yeah, we might do a video of working on that sucker.
We really should. Somebody at work said we need to start videoing our haunted house stuff more.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's boring, but we'll start videoing some of the cool stuff and throwing
I
want
to get a decent camera. So like if we're working in a certain area, we can just set it up in the corner and go.
Yeah. Good idea.
We
we'll see you Wednesday, or Brett will. I won't.
All right, everybody. Stay evil. Bye.
In a time of fear and suspicion,
you choose to admit your crimes before man and God?
His coming was foretold. Now, he is here.
You know the signs.
You are bewitched.
He has the face of an angel.
Channel me a spirit.
The charm of the devil.
Hear me when I say he's evil. Evil absolute.
And the powers of a god. Satan also has one son.
First to have laid eyes upon the new Messiah.
Now, an enemy from his past.
Who appointed you executioner?
And a girl from the present.
Do you know what he's capable of?
Next time he's gonna kill me.
I'll not let him harm you.
Are the only hope for the future. This is the terrifying adventure that could set the world on fire.